end of an era and an industry. Returning to the compilation of information about FDA-approved drugs, our hobby revealed objective information that verified suspicions and rumors that pharmaceutical, biotechnology, and academic enterprises are all at a crossroads. Many companies and entire industries will not survive this transition. The tumultuous years to come will also impact public health, as the source and ability to make new medicines is fundamentally at risk. The conventional approach to discovering new drugs had been primarily led by the pharmaceutical and then biotechnology industries. Companies such as Pfizer, Merck, and others had grown into behemoths over the decades based on a continuous outflow of innovative research and development. In recent years, these organizations had refined their organizational strategies, and many elected to severely curtail or abandon altogether early-stage drug research activities. The collective outcomes of these decisions were raising important questions about how, or indeed if, these activities might be performed in the future. As we will see, the decisions by many large pharmaceutical companies to de-emphasize, and sometimes eliminate, early-stage discovery and research activities were highly rational and occurred over a long time frame, starting in the 1970s. Despite the fact this is hardly a new trend, virtually no one noticed the slow-motion dismantlement of the pharmaceutical industry within the context of the parallel rise of the biotechnology industry. Aggressive new companies quickly filled and, indeed, encouraged any gaps left by the pharmaceutical industry's decisions to progressively withdraw from early-stage research. The problem was that, as of the beginning of the new millennium, the biotechnology sector was itself suffering from two conspiring trends. Many successful companies had been acquired, and fewer new companies were created to replace them. Thus, we began experiencing a lack of private sector organizations to address gaps in early-stage discovery activities. The question that led me to Yale, and then later to Washington University in St. Louis, was whether and how academia might address the vacuum created by the withdrawal of the private sector. Many research institutions were themselves questioning their own futures.